Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph in the Mishnah. Mazgul lo kos sheni.
Okay, so just one second.
So just that the use of that term, bim das biven aviv melamdo, or as the Rambam says, lefi daito shalben aviv melamdo, right, is a theme that again was developed by the Rambam, but let's say exposited by the Rav of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as a din in Talmud Torah. Now, that'll be in the background of the sugya, but you don't have to look very far, right? Because it's not aviv, you know, misapir lo, but it's aviv milamdo, right? It's a Talmud Torah experience. Okay, go ahead. Okay, outstanding, Levi. So what we have here is a Mishnah. And the Mishnah presents a specific text, the text of the Manishtana, including, of course, a question that pertains very specifically to the Karban Pesach, Ki'im Tzuli Eish. And then we have, let's call them, Dinei Haggadah. So Levi, in terms of the Seifa of the Mishnah in particular, beginning with the words, L'fi Daito Shulben Aviv Malamda, which I think we've already addressed, the implications for Limud HaTorah, how do you relate to the last part of the Mishnah?
Well, it seems to me that the Gnus, I mean, I know what the Gnus is. The Gnus is polytheism and the Shevach is monotheism. And the whole Rami Ovid Avi, I know, according to Rav Targin, is a whole, basically, an exposition about the Chidushim of monotheism. So that's what pops into my mind when I see that.
Okay. You know, I with enormous respect for both people who go by that name, right, you know, so fast forwarding a little bit from the Mishnah already to, you know, those contemporary luminaries. So let's just try, what I meant was in terms of Lamdus, let's try to understand what the Mishnah is telling us. And as you have these, what appear to be discrete dinim. Lifi daito shalben aviv melamdo. That's a din. Maschol begnos umesayim b'shevach. It's a din. V'doresh me'arami ovidovi yad shigmor kol ha'parsha kula. That's a din. Now, to be sure, we're not talking about one din in Zrayim and one din in Kachim and one din in Taros. It sounds like they're all dinim that pertain to a particular mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, one of the mitzvahs Asei Shabbat Torah. So I'm not claiming that they have no relationship with each other. But does anybody read the Mishnah differently and sort of suggest that my presentation of these as independent dinim is questionable as far as the Mishnah is concerned? Shall we go ahead?
It could be that Mashal the Mishnah,
No, do you see any indication of that in the Mishnah? I mean, it's a fascinating idea that you're developing. Right. Okay. So there's nothing. I was wondering if there's anything about the Mishnah that catalyzed that. So you're saying you, not really. What made you think of that?
Because of the ew that connects them, but there's also an ew before. Actually, no, there isn't an ew. There's no vav before.
Oh, okay. So that's what I thought you might say. Okay, so ulefi daito shalben aviv melamdo, maschil b'gnus, so then that starts a new clause, v'mesayim b'shevach, Vidoresh mirami ovin avi. That's what I thought you might say, is that somehow that's a conjunctive vav. Okay, interesting. Did anybody else read it that way? Eitan? Okay, so your intuitive assumption is that being doresh mirami ovin avi at sheigmar kol haparsha kula is somehow a method of discharging the previous halacha of maschol bignos umesayim b'shevach. Okay, I think that's a very, I think it's very fascinating. I don't know that that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. It happens to be that there are views, or a view, which develops that idea, but I am fascinated by anybody who thinks or thought of that independently in the pshat of the Mishnah. Yeah, Noam, go ahead. Okay.
I think the first is what we saw in the first half of the Mishnah, that the son asking the father questions, or the father being malami the son if he doesn't have da'at. And then the second half of the Mishnah, those three things which he says, three separate dinim, I think those are all part of Ufi Darko Shalvan Abi Malamdo.
So the father is responsibility to be malamed in this fashion, in other words, maschol b'gnos and messiah b'shevach. Do you discern any relationship, though, in terms of maschol b'gnos and messiah b'shevach and doresh me'ram yovi avri, or?
Yes, I do.
What is the connection?
I guess it seems to me, maybe I'm biased, but it seems to me that ram yovi avri is the gnos.
Okay. Okay, interesting. What would bias you?
That's what I've always learned.
Really? On the basis of?
What my grandfather said on the basis of? I'm not sure. I'm not being
No, that's always good. That's what they call the mimetic tradition. I'm just trying to... Okay. Because it's really a very controversial and stunning view, one that I think has enormous merit, but, it's not... I don't think it's particularly obvious from the Mishnah. And I certainly don't think it's obvious from the Gemara itself. There's a little piece of Gemara that treats the topic of Maschal B'gnus and Messiah B'Shevach and has absolutely nothing whatsoever to say about Arami Oved Avi. So the idea that the method of discharging Haschala B'gnus V'Siyim B'Shevach is Arami Oved Avi, we'll return to that idea. Maybe we'll do that idea justice, I hope. But I just want people to appreciate that it's certainly not dispositive from the Mishnah, even if there's a conjunctive of. And if one is simply reading the Gemara, it doesn't seem particularly likely. So on that note, probably a good time to read the Gemara. Okay, so Maschol B'Gnosim Messiah B'Shevach is the last piece before the Mishnah on... the very bottom of Kufta Zayin, and Aleph from Gamliel Hayomer Kol Shalom or Shlosh Advarim Liyatzi De Chovaso. Oh, Levi, you want to do the? You're doing a great job before.
Oh, sorry. Which part of the Gemara? Where the Gemara right below? But where the Gemara right below?
Yeah, it's just right, that last piece of Maschol Begnus and Masayim B'Shevach. My Begnus.
My Begnus. Sorry. My Begnus. Rav Amar Mitchila of the Avoda Zara Hayavosenu, Ushmul Amar Avodino Hayenu.
Okay, so let's pause right. Let's pause right there. So Levi, I know that you had already sort of committed yourself to this, one side in this machlokas. Hopefully, we can, look past Kevan Shehigid Shuvein Ochozer Umagid for just a moment. We'll grant Levi that. But in fact, it would appear to be a machlokes amuroim, maybe a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. The truth is there are many different girsos, Abaye and Rava, Rav and Shmuel. But let's assume for a second Rav and Shmuel. So there's in fact a machlokes what we mean when we say gnus. So Rav says the gnus is mitchila ovde avodas gilulim or ovde avodazara hayu avoseno. That's the logical, natural place to start. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ushmuel Amar Avadim Hayinu. So again, before we enter the lumdus of this, I'm wondering, Levi, if one position strikes you as more intuitive, with respect to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's always important methodologically when we encounter machlokes tanoim, amoraim, rishonim, achronim, aposkim. What is the svara rishona? Doesn't mean that it has to be our conclusion.
All right, well, maybe I'm biased because I already said this and I already thought this, and it's hard to go back on what you said, but I still think Rav is the more logical because of the whole idea of, you know, this is like the defining element of the Jewish people, and the defining element of the Jewish people is being separated from Avodah Zarah for Avodah Hashem.
Okay, so, interesting. Okay, interesting. Now, I wouldn't debate that with you on theological lines, right, that we just finished, you know, Kol HaKofer B'Avodah Zarah, Moda B'Chol HaTorah Kula, but if the mitzvah is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, a little bit more narrowly defined, you're still going to maintain that position?
All right, so then I have to go Shmuel.
Right. I think that most of us would probably say that since we're talking about a specific mitzvah, right, we're not starting, or maybe we are, maybe that's part of the point, but if our intuitive conception, right, Ilan, is that we're doing a specific mitzvah, we're not starting a new theology course. If you're starting a theology course, I would probably start with Avodah Zarah. Okay, I would start with Avraham Avinu. I would start with Avodah Zarah. I would talk about the birth of the Jewish people. If you tell me that I have a specific mitzvah on Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you tell me that the way that I have to do that, that a prat within that mitzvah, right, so this, the way that I discharge the mitzvah of sukkah requires me to have a certain number of walls, it requires me to have schach, there are, despite the fact that Beis Yosef basically thinks you can't mess it up, there are actually ways of messing that up, right? So there's a mitzvah called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's pratim in terms of how I discharge it, one of them is maskal b'gnos. If you asked me, I would say, I guess you have to start by saying that we were in bondage in Egypt. But you can't just say, you're not going to believe what happened. The Egyptians were all destroyed. The Jews went marching out. And somebody said, marching out from what? Where were they? And say, oh, well, they weren't really allowed to do that before that because there's the mosque. And you're supposed to say that they were enslaved. So Shmuel's position, intuitively, strikes one as the logical position, but Rav has this fascinating idea. Now, again, it was very helpful that Levi presented it the way that he did, because it gets us thinking in terms of lambdas. Is Rav saying the following? That, no, he agrees. It's a relatively narrow mitzvah called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's just that he thinks that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the way that you tell the story of the Exodus, somehow has to involve some discussion of theology and our theological history. Is that the position of Rav? Or that Rav is a fundamentally different idea? Yeah, there's a mitzvah called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that's almost like a misnomer. Right? Maybe, Noam, this is, I think, what you were trying to point to before. It's why I asked the leading question. Do you think there's a relationship between the Dinim Lefi Daito Shalben, Aviv Malamdo? It's like an exercise in Talmud Torah. Maybe if I was starting off and I was saying, how can I design a Talmud Torah curriculum from scratch? Right, this is my annual moment to teach my son Torah. So I might say, okay, there is something called Torah. There is something called God who gave the Torah. You know, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shat Nasan Torah. Actually, that is in the Sipur Yetzias, right? Believe it or not. Okay, what it's doing there might be related to this. And so Rav has like a much different conception about what the goal of Seder night is. It's not a very constricted or narrow project of telling the story of the Exodus, but you start with the most fundamental idea, that is, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, and then, obviously, we made spiritual, theological progress from there. So Rav Shita, in terms of the Lamdus, could really be doing one thing. He could be agreeing, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a more narrow mitzvah, but taking a rather unconventional position regarding its starting point, or he could be forcing us to reevaluate what the nature of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim really is. Okay? And forcing us to reconsider that as a basic proposition. Ilan, go ahead. Ilan Agus.
Chinuch is the Derabanan, like on the father, that it's only a Drabbanan, and this is obviously the race that still from the Torah, then it would make a lot of sense. Like, Rav, it's the only time that it's actually a food of the race from finding our values and showed you.
The only time that there's, I just missed the last three words. The only time there's a chiyuv d'oraisa,
to impart our values in our children. So of course we should have to tell them about it.
Okay, very good. So then that would make, there's a specific mitzvah in the Torah, right? V'higad to levinecha, it's an annual thing. So you have to take advantage of the opportunity to start with something much more basic, right? It doesn't make sense to tell a particular episode, no matter how important it is within our national history, if the child has no frame of reference. You have to give them a frame of reference. Mitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Hayov Asenu. Very good. So that would be good halachic rationale to explain why Rav might take a very broad view of the project of Lefi Daito Shulben Aviv Milamdo. Levi, back to you.
Yeah, is it possible if we say Rav is agreeing, he's just taking, you know, saying this unconventional thing to start earlier, could his kavana be to the, which is like the Brisbane of Asarim, how Hashem tells Abraham, Geri Yazaracha, and then the Gamma Sogoy Shevodu Dananochi?
Okay, so we'll actually see some representation of that view. That's an interesting possibility. Okay, very good. That's thought-provoking. Okay, so we have a machlokas, what appears to be a machlokas. I think most people would say it is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What is genus? Okay, so let's see if we can get any indication in the Gemara which way we should paskin. So again, if it's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, it doesn't appear that it's dine mamonos, so you would just assume that we would paskin like Rav. But we've been surprised before. We just came off the Sugya of Lo Yorah Adam Al Meso Shol Shem Yom. In fact, paskin like Shmuel in a Meis Mishtakeach Min Halev Lo Yikansu Beregel Kshein Dovin. So, you never know what's going to happen. So let's see in the Hemsheikh of the Gemara if things look one direction or the other. So, Amrlei Rav Nachman.
Amrlei Rav Nachman, we drew Avdei. Avdei demapikle umare lecherus. Yahidre kaspa vidahava my bai lami malay. O malay, bai the oduye bishbuche. O malay, tirasan lomar manishtana hasach omar avadimayinu.
Okay, so who does it seem like Rav Nachman paskins like in the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel?
Shmuel.
Yeah, seems like that's the reading of the Gemara. So Rav Nachman, interestingly, was achieving Derech She'elo Tshuva. We'll read Rav Chaim's essay inside much later on. So there's a Derech She'elo Tshuva here. He prompts, right, a particular Eved is of his. I happen to like Levi's Nusach. I also call him Drew Avde. But whether you think it's Drew, Daru, whatever it is. So he prompts him with a particular question, a leading question to be sure, that if you had an Eved who was emancipated by his Rav, so what would be the appropriate response? And the appropriate response is Hoda'a and Shevach. Ba'i le'oduye Hoda'a uli shibuche. So Rav Nachman says, great, you saved us a few minutes, right? We're going to get to Chatzos for sure this year. Samrele patrasan milomar manishtana. We don't have to do all of the longer questions, right? Because I asked you a question, you answered the question, derech shelo tshuva. This is actually an issue on Kuf Tesvav Mabez. Tosfos seems to say you actually have to recite these particular questions, but it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. There's a previous Gemara that when Abayi was an orphan, he was raised by his uncle, Rabbi Bar Nachmani. So it says that Abaye was confused because before they started eating, Rabba started clearing off the table. And he says, what are you doing? You know, plates are for eating. We haven't even eaten yet. And Rabba said, great, we can skip the Manishtana this year. We can move on from here. So Tosa says, no, really, you have to say the Manishtana, just that, you know, the Gemara didn't record it. But a simple reading exactly as Levi read it was Patrasan Milomar Manishtana. There's no formal obligation to say Manishtana as long as you have Derech Shela B'tshuva. And as we know, Pasach V'amar Abadim Ayinu. So that's how Rav Nachman, right, started his Seder. Maybe it's not such a great surprise. Rav Nachman was Chasana Devei Nesia in Pumpedisa, where Shmuel had been the Rosh Hashiva. I'm sorry, in Nahardah, where Shmuel had been the Rosh Hashiva, the original founding Rosh Hashiva. So, man, not such a great surprise. He paskins like Shmuel. And that would appear to be what we emerge from in the Gemara. So let's take a look at the Rashbam. Pasach va'amar.
Pasach va'amar la'acha she'uras ha'bein hischi lomar avodim ha'yinu v'gomer ha'gada b'shevach v'hodaa klomar kein also lomar v'kosh baruch hu she'hayinu avodim v'hotzi'anu misham.
Excellent. Okay, right, there's a little bit of a hagah. Maybe it's not Shelas HaBen. Maybe in this case it's Shelas HaEbed. That's very much a side point. So Levi, what's the Rashbam saying? That Maschal B'Gnos and Messiah B'Shevach L'shitas Rav Nachman is?
I'm starting with Avadim Ayinu.
Exactly. Shayinu Avadim. And the Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo'i L'Oduye L'Shibuchei is Hotzianu Misham. Right, it's not a small thing. Oh, hani salukim lavo lakachas lo goy mikarev goy b'masos b'masosim uftim b'milchama b'yad chazakav b'zroa netuya. As far as I recall, at the very end of the Chumash, after Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the Torah makes a big deal of it again. Right, v'chol hayad chazakah. Right, that part of Moshe Rabbeinu's legacy is everything that he did in front of Paro and Mitzrayim. V'chol hayad chazakah. So it's a pretty big deal. And so, Maschivin Bignos, we say, we were enslaved in Egypt. Part of that is the Maror itself. And the next Mishnah talks about the obligation of mentioning Maror. Vayimaror es chayeham avodah kasha b'chom b'v'inim v'b'chol avodah b'asadeh iskol avodah sama sh'avdu b'hem b'farech. Sounds like the simple din of the Mishnah is that if you don't say that, you're not Yotzei. You're not Yotzei, your obligation of Sipur Yetzias Yisrael. Okay, the Ran disagrees. He says only din l'chatchila. But be that as it may, it sounds from the simple reading of the Gemara that we came across an extraordinary view of Rav, Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yovaseinu, but then Shmuel brought us back down to earth. Rav Nachman kept us over there on earth, and that Maschal B'Gnos, the Messiah B'Shevach, is exactly what we would have imagined. Within the narrow world of Sipur, Yitzias Mitzrayim, you start with the notion that we were enslaved, we were in bondage in Egypt, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. Okay, so Maschal B'Gnos, the degradation of the Jewish people, and we're Messiah B'Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevated us from there. Now, that already raises a separate issue in the Mishnah itself. It talks about Maschal B'Gnos and Messiah B'Shevach. It would appear that there is some broad agreement regarding the term Gnos, that either Avadim Hayinu or Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, that Gnus is Gnus Anshal Yisrael. What's not clear, right, once you read the Gemara, this question comes into focus, is what do you mean, Messiah B'Shevach? Who's Shevach exactly are we referring to? So if you say, like, Shmuel and Rav Nachman, who's the Shevach? Eitan? Right, so it's asymmetrical. So we're not Maschal B'Gnus Anshal Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, Chalila. Ramaschal Bignus on Shal Yisrael and Rasaiman the Shevach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as that Eved said, Ba'i le'oduye u'lishibuche. Now, the question is, what about according to Rav? Maschal Bignus, definitely, Gnus on Shal Yisrael, Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. Question is, Messiah B'Shevach, whose Shevach is that? The Gemara doesn't give him a hearing. We don't even know what Messiah B'Shevach means according to Rav. We don't know. By implication, we might say, Mitzchilo Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, and then we're not, right? The Gemara doesn't specify what that is. So maybe it's Shevach Shal Yisrael, maybe it's Shevach Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's an unanswered question. It's an unanswered question because the text of the Gemara doesn't provide an answer to that question. So we'll have to look at some of the later authorities, right? We'll have to look at the Rishonim and the Achronim, see how all this is processed. Rav's view is sort of just hanging out there for us to try, hopefully not to speculate too much, but at least to flag it as an issue. We never really got to the bottom of what Messiah B'Shevach is, l'shitas Rav, and we have different ideas, but nothing concrete as to what might have driven Rav to take such an unconventional position of Maschal B'Gnos. We start talking about theology, mitchila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, and I'll just add on to that, we don't even know what Mitchila is referring to. What do you mean Mitchila? When we got down to Egypt, when we were in Egypt, right? Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu in primordial times. Right? So we all are a little bit biased by this because we've been through many, many, many Siddharim, twice as many as if we were in Eretz Yisrael. So I think you guys know, right? Terach Avi Avram Avi Nachor, but it's not obvious from the Gemara what he's talking about. Mitzchil of the Zodar Ayu of Asenu, I don't know. What point in history, really? The Tchila Tchila? Tchila Shibud Mitzrayim? I'm not sure. Okay. So Rabbeinu Chananel, Masel Bignus, Maihi? Interesting. So, as you picked up, Rabbeinu Chananel has different Amoraim who are involved here, Rav and Rav Yosef, as opposed to Rav and Shmuel, respectively. And Rabbeinu Chananel thinks that in his judgment, Va'idna Avdinan Kitar Vayhu. We just do both of them. So anytime you have that of Avdinan Kitar Vayhu, you know, or Hilkach Leminu Lechulu, Leminu Letar Vayhu, the question is, well, why? Then there are at least three possibilities. One of them is that we're not really sure how we paskin. So it's a form of being machmir. One possibility. Now, in our case, I have to say, that seems a little bit less likely. Why? Right. Both logic would support what we originally called Shmuel's position. It seems like the Gemara supports that position. But, okay, I guess it's possible that the Gemara is still not convinced, or at least some of the Rishonim weren't convinced exactly how we paskin. Okay, so that's always one possibility, that there's a suffix involved. All the way at the other end of the spectrum is that we say, no, there's really no suffix at all. Right? We know exactly how we paskin, but for whatever reason, we think that there's some added benefit to doing both of them. It's not li'ikuva, it's not like, for Rav, you can't mention Avadim Hayinu, for Shmuel, you can't say Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. So let's say we paskin like Shmuel, but... V'ha'idna Avdinan Kitarvayu is not a halachic statement implying that there's some suffix as to whom we paskin like, but we know who we paskin like, but there's some added benefit to the seder of addressing the other tzad. Let's call it Rav tzad, because it seems pretty obvious from the Gemara that we would paskin like Shmuel. Now, there's always a middle ground between those two shitos. If you have Avdinan Kitarvayu, which is Noam to say what? Right, that they actually, the machlokas wasn't what we thought it necessarily was. Maybe the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, or Rav and Rav Yosef, was not a frontal machlokas. Maybe it was a question of which one we prioritize. Maybe it's a question of which one we even say first. Maschil Begnos has two different meanings. Everybody agrees to that. And the question is, which one should we start with? And that's where they had their dispute. Okay, so... any of these are, logically speaking, plausible, but Rabbeinu Chananel tells us, Avdinan Kitarvayu. Now, put next here, you guys have it on Zoom as well. We saw Rashbam, we saw Rabbeinu Chananel. Let's take a look at the Rosh, and then we'll take a look at the Rif to get a sense of the range of views amongst some of the classical Rishonim, and then we'll see some of the Baalei HaMishnah as well. Okay. So I think it's Simon Lamed.
Give me a second. Lamed Amar Shmuel. That one.
Yeah, just give people a second because people are flipping here. Just give it 15 seconds.
It's when I start. Should I start with from Masnissen or from
Gemara? I think we just start with Maschil Begnos and Masayim B'Sheva.
Okay.
Okay. Take it away. Where are you? Where are you? You in the river, the Rush?
Yeah. What I have here.
This is just a little bit before that. This is Simon Lamed.
Maybe an edition or something, but that's all I have here.
Okay. So, if you, just a few lines up from where you were. Oh, you guys don't have it? Okay.
No.
Okay. So he says, Maschal b'gnosim esayim b'shevach, v'doresh mi'arami ovid, aviyachu gomer kol aparsha kula, v'hashta, we'll come back to what you read in a second, Levi, sorry about that. I didn't realize that you don't have this. V'hashta l'olema brasar tzali, delay slay pisca. Okay. So, you guys don't have that in your text?
No, we do. I think we're
looking
at the wrong page.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. It's not so critical. Okay, so the Rush says, your maschal b'gnos, your messiah b'shevach, your doresh mi'arabi ovid abiyat, your gomer kol aparsha kula. And then he circles back and explains, oh, by the way, we take out the line before about basar tzali. Okay, good. Maschal b'gnos, your messiah b'shevach, exactly what you read. Go, hey, my gnos, Rav Amar. Okay, so again, like Rabbeinu Chananel, this concludes, V'ashta avdinan kitarbayu, doesn't really explain why we would do like both. He drops the Rav Nachman section entirely. Also, that section didn't appear when it came to the Rabbeinu Chananel either. But again, either it's because there's a suffix, maybe there's no suffix, but somehow Rav strikes us as additive, or we're reevaluating their machlokas and saying the machlokas was only, let's say, a question of sequence and not a question of doing one over the other. What about the riff? Just give people a second. Yeah, sure. I have a slightly different pagination, so once I get to my page, I'll tell you. Okay, Puff Hay on the base in the Dape Riff. So we can line up the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rush, and the Riff, and say there's like this emerging consensus that we're seeing amongst Gedolei Arishonim that we should really be doing both. All of them, without providing any kind of explanation, especially in light of the Gemara, that seems relatively clear that, in fact, we should start with Avadim Hayinu and conclude with V'Hotzianu, V'Achshav, Hotzianu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misham, V'Osanu Hotzi Misham, however exactly a person wants to formulate. Okay, excellent. Very well done, Levi. Let's take a look at the Bar Tanura. Everybody on Zoom, you should have this on your sheet. Let's switch over Yair. Maschal b'gnos.
Maschal b'gnos must be
okay, excellent, Yair. I'm just going to reread it for the benefit of the people on Zoom. So the Bar Tanura, you have it the first page of your Mikoros. So he says, Mitzchilo avdei avodah zarah hayu avosenu ve'avadim hayinu. Okay, so that is well within the tradition of Rabbeinu Chananel, of the Rush, of the Riff. So he's saying we would do both, like Rab and Shmuel. Umisayim b'shevach. You know, he says something really interesting. Shekirvanu hamakom lavudaso. V'galas avosenim mimitzrayim. So v'galas avosenim mimitzrayim is, you know, that's more or less what the Gemara implied, right? The story of Rav Nachman and the Eved. So the idea of Cheros, v'galas avosenim mimitzrayim, that's fine. But what's interesting is the Bar Tanura provides a kind of a text which doesn't appear in the Gemara, also doesn't appear in Rabbeinu Chanan or the Rosh or the Rif, as to what Misayim B'Shevach would mean L'shitas Rav, which is Kirvanu Hamokom La'avodaso. Shekirvanu Hamokom La'avodaso. This is the antithesis of being in Oved Avodazara. Mitchila Ovde Avodazara Hayu Avosenu Kirvanu Hamokom La'avodaso. So I return to the question, Noam, that we presented before, whose Shevach is being referenced?
I think Hashem. And I think also...
Hold on one second. You think Hashem, what do you mean by that?
Being the Shevach Hashem for... Like, you're not saying we're so great for returning to Hashem, but saying Hashem's so great for returning to Hashem.
Okay, so Noam is reading it very carefully, and he's saying, look, Mitzchilo of the Avodazara Hayu Avosenu, we're clearly the subject. But the subject of the final clause, Shekirvanu Hamakom La'avodaso, so Noam is saying is Hamakom. Hamakom Kirev Osanu, we're the direct object, La'avodaso, indirect object. So there would be an asymmetry in Shitas Rav, according to the Bar Tanura. Yeah, I'm not so sure myself. When you were sure, I was interested. I think it could actually be either. Frankly, even when it comes to Shmuel, don't you see sort of the same thing? V'galas avosenu mimitzrayim. You could, I think, make the parallel argument. Whose Shevach is that? What's that? Right. He uses the language of V'galas avosenu mimitzrayim. So you would think, oh, ba'ilo duya li shibuche, that's all the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, using that term of being nig'al, right, living in a state of redemption, is also Yisrael. So that same ambiguity with respect to the Shevach in Shitas Rav, you might argue Noam exists actually with Shita Shmuel as well. So this is now a text. Kirvanu Hamakom La'avodaso. That's the Siyum B'Shvach. Could be both. Shvacho Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shvacho Shal Yisrael. V'go'al Asavosenu Mimitzrayim, once again, could be L'Shvacho Shal Makom as well as L'Shvacho Shel Yisrael. Can be both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. So this again would be a fourth shita that would paskin like both. Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh, the Rif, and the Bar Tanura are all staking the position that Maschol Bignus and Messiah B'Shevach would in fact impose a dual requirement on us. Mitchila Ovdei Avodazara Hayu Avoseinu Achshav Kirvanu Hamakom La'avodaso and Avadim Hayinu, as well as V'ga'al Esavusenim Mimitzrayim. Now, what's interesting is we haven't necessarily resolved the question of sequence. In Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh and the Rif, there's no way of knowing. Avdinan Kitarvayu simply means both of them. You could be Medayik in the Bar Tanura Rami that what comes first? Right, Mitzchilo Ovid Avazara comes first, and then Avadim Hayinu. You could be Medayik that in his Shita. It's possible. even though you could just argue maybe that's the way the Gemara presents it, so he follows that. But we don't necessarily have any indication in terms of sequencing. Now, you guys all are a little bit victimized by your familiarity with this topic. Well, I mean, what do we do in practice? What's our practice every single year, Eitan? Right, Avadim Hayinu actually goes before. Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. It's really fascinating. So we're going to have to deal with the question of sequence as well. Let's take a look at the Shita of the Ritva and then the Rimi Lunil. Okay. Yair, go ahead. So this is now the third different alignment of Amoraim that we saw. Rav and Shmuel, Rava and Rav Yosef, and now Rav versus Rava, which is an extremely unusual orientation, a choreography of Machlokes that's across four generations. Okay, but Rav Omar, Mitzchil de Zara Yovasin, Rav Omar, Mayin Lefaro, the reason I'm focused on that is the Ritva is going to say, oh, V'ifzaka Hilchasa, Kavase derava dehu basra. So we actually paskin like Rava because, you know, of course, the halacha kibasrai. So if you really hold that it's Rava, right, and not Shmuel who said avadim hayinu, then it's halacha kibasrai. And not only that, but now we see a rehabilitation of the actual text of the Gemara, right? The Rosh, the Rif, the Rabbeinu Chananel, none of them seem to, the Bar Tanura, anachronistically, I mean, nobody seems to pay attention to the story of Rav Nachman, but you guys were all convinced, as I was, that the Sugya, the Shmaitzin, clearly paskins like Shmuel. Or like Rava, if you think it's Shitas Rava. Or Rav Yosef, if you think it's Shitas Rav Yosef. But that Shita, Abavadam Hayinu. Rav Nachman, Abad Kabase, Be'uvda, Detruavde. Rav Nachman obviously held this way too. But then the Ritva comes back with a breakthrough. Mistabra. Now, I don't know why it's Mistabra. Maybe somebody can explain that to me. But Mistabra, the Ritva says, based on a Svara, Miyemar Dadama Didach Sumak Tve, okay, but based on a Svara, it strikes me that they're not really arguing at the fundamental level. They were merely arguing about the batting order. Okay, they want to break up the lefties. Oh, I don't know how you figure that out. Doesn't sound that way to me, right? Read the Gemara. I don't think people would say. Now, once you see so many Rishonim saying, oh, Avdinan Ketarvayu, there's a great value. There's a great yitaron to being able to say this, right? You say, oh, it's not that we're afraid to take sides. It's that they weren't really in Machlokas anyway. But that's obviously tautological. The only reason you'd say that is if you already knew Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rush, the Rif, the Bar Tanura, everybody seems to, you know, say Yesh Makom Lishnayim, as the expression goes. So, you know, I don't know what's driving this Ritva. I really don't. But he says Mistabra Shlo Nechkol Abeis Maschilin. The Rav Savra Mitzchilo of Devar Zara Kemosha Hayah Hamaisa. That's, you know, Jewish history 101, right? We too are descendants of pagans. Tokvo Shalnes. Right. Rabbi says, you start with the theme of the evening, which is the great miracle of the Exodus, and then you take a step back, you pivot, V'acharkach maschilin b'gnus avodazara. L'fizeh min hagenu kirabba. T'i pligi legamrei, for they're really arguing. So the Ritva tips his hand a little bit in the end, say that he was reconstructing also. And how did he figure out that it wasn't really a machlokas? Because Pukhazi Mayamadavar, we do both, so must be that that's what they meant the whole time. Okay. Shimmy was unrestrained in his response for those of you on Zoom. Shimmy gave his he indicated that he was not necessarily convinced by such an argument. But that's what the Ritva says. So now we have one possible logic as to why there seems to be a very broad scope of Rishon, Rabbi Nochanan, the Rif, the Rosh, the Bar Tanur. Everybody thinks that you should really do both. Maybe they weren't really in a machlokes altogether. Okay? Interestingly, the Ritva admits, right, that in essence, we do paskin like Rava, because in a much more narrow or constricted presentation of the machlokes, when they're only arguing like the batting order, so we do paskin the shita we'll call shita Shmuel, what he calls shita Rava, which does matter for him, again, because of halacha kibasrai, that we really are taking a stand. We're not ignoring Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman counts. And so we'll do something very unconventional. We'll go out of chronological order for purposes of thematic impact. So we start with the Tokfo Shalnes. The question was, Manishtana Halayla Zem Mikol Lelos. I'll tell you what makes it so different. It's the, you know, Leil Hanisim. And then we back up and we tell a much broader version of the story. So there's a pivot which is being made here in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a shita of the Ritva. Okay, just one last shita for the day. This is the Rimi Lunil, Chachmei Provence, on the Rif. Okay, Mascho Begnus. I'm sorry. I was derelict. I missed one point that I wanted to make in the Ritva. Who does the Ritva, or how does the Ritva, I should really say, how does the Ritva interpret Messiah B'Shevach? Should have mentioned that. Remember, we debated. Is it Yisrael? Is it Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is it both? Yeah, he takes a stand on that issue also. Let's say, Shevach v'hodaya l'shem Yisbarach asher me'ashpos yarim evyon. That he lifts those who are destitute, those who are evyonim, not just aniyim, but to'ev l'chol davar, as the Gemara explains, me'ashpos, from the dung heap, yarim evyon, he raises and exalts those who have been degraded. So that's shevach v'hoda'a l'shmo yisparach. And I think it's l'shitaso. In the Ritva, because this really emerges from which part of the Gemara? Which part of the Gemara is the strongest indication that Messiah B'Shevach is a reference to Shevacho Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu? Bernholtz? Exactly, it's the Rav Nachman section of the Gemara, right? Boi Lemeimar, Odue Vishibuche. Okay, the Rimi Lunil. Sorry about that, Yair.
Yeah,
missed an important point in the Ritva. Okay. So the Rimi Lunil obviously is a major point in our presentation of the sugya to date. Okay, so Mas Chobignos Avadim Hayinu, Shita Shmuel, Umisayim Hagada Veshevach Vehodos, just rereading it, yeah, you're just for the benefit of the people on Zoom. Shehotzianu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the Shevach is to Hashem, Mitzrayim, Shayinu Sham Avadim. Not only that, Vehotzianu Birechosh Rav. Where did you get that idea of Birechosh Rav? Oh, I mean that's right. Ve'achrei Cheinitzu Birechosh Gadol, but in terms of the Sugya. You drove Mazin out of the country club, and you haven't repented. You haven't repented. You drove him.
I'm a wonton sinner.
Yeah, he's probably still the wonton.
Where did he get this idea? The Hotziano Birchosh Rav. Ilan, eh? Yeah, exactly right. Klei chesef, uchlei zahav, usmalos, right? Rav Nachman was asking Dru Avdei, right, a leading question. So the Rimi Lunil says, who are we kidding? What's this Avdinan kitarvoyhu? Rach, Rosh, Rif, Ritva, Bartanura. So the Rimi Lunil says, I know how to read a Gemara. The Gemara Paskin like Shmuel, bar none. And by the way, you know, sometimes you get so deep into a sugya, it's like hard to stay grounded, what I call on earth. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right, David, it's just logical. Avadim Hayinu, and we should be Messiah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us, if I could borrow an expression from the Ritva, Me'ashpos, Yarim Evyon, he took us from a degraded, demoralized state of Kotzer Ruach and Avodah Kasha, and we left, you know, as the Ramban writes so poetically in the beginning of his parish in Parshas B'Shalach, right, as a machane gadol betupim uvim cholos, right, we had not just been extracted, but, you know, we had been rehabilitated through the process of the primordial hanik, tanik, lo, that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us out with rechush gadol, with dignity. And so the Rimi Luniel says, that's how good, of course we paskin that way. Read the Gemara. The Gemara is clear. Now, I'll just make one more comment, and then we'll throw it over to Eitan for the last word. We spent the better part of the last hour analyzing this Gemara very carefully, and you know, Noam, with your permission, I'll make the observation that none of the Rishonim, for all of the discussion of Avdinan Kitarvayu, none of the Rishonim have made even the slightest reference to Arami Oved Avi. That hasn't even been part of the discussion. Even if you want to say like Shmuel, Avadim Hayinu, you know, and now we're not Avadim, and we even have the Rechush Gadol, would have seemed like an opportunity to say, V'yata, hine hevesias, reshiz pri adama, asher nasatali Hashem, look how much I have. I have all of this bounty, right, Noam? And crickets. Nobody seemed to think that V'doresh me'arami ovidavi could give us any insight into Maschal B'gnos and Messiah B'sheva. If we're being honest about it, nobody seems to think it's part of that discussion. Midorish Me'arami Ovid Avi, Ad Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha Kula, was not processed neither by the Rif, nor by the Rush, nor by the Ritva, nor by Rabbeinu Chananel, nor by the Rimi Luniel, nor by the Bar Tanura, as having any relevance to discerning what Maschal B'gnos Messiah B'Shevach is. So let me just give equal time and rebuttal to Noam and then throw things over to Eitan.
And I'm not running out here, you know. I was just wondering, does it mean that Rami Ovid comes after your Messiah B'Shevach? You start with us, you do Rami Ovid Avi, and then your Messiah B'Shevach?
That's a very good question. That's an excellent question. One doesn't know. It just appears to be a separate din. Messiah B'Shevach sounds like you should end there. Right, that should be the seal. There's like a trajectory, right? You're supposed to have, as your English professors tell you, right, a beginning, middle, and end. So you should be misayim, right? So probably you stick it somewhere in there. V'doresh me'arami ovidovi ad sheyigmor kol haparsha kula. But there's no real indication, other than just misayim itself, that it would go in the middle. But I think it would be a reasonable assumption to make. Let's throw it over to Eitan. It's a good question. Only the real Milu Neil would know, I guess, and his, you know, wife and children, and whoever else was attending his Siddarim, maybe his congregants. But he says, in terms of the obligation, in terms of the din and the Mishnah, the Kiyum Daraisa, because it's part of it, the din Daraisa of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which presume at least it's a Kiyum Daraisa, if not a Chiyum Daraisa. So he would say, Mitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah has nothing to do with this. It just doesn't. The Gemara had a question, presented a machlokes. Shmuel took a very intuitive position. The Gemara backed him up with Rav Nachman. Anta Regum Liel Hayomer Shlosha Dvarim. So the Rimi Luniel is a little bit on an island, but he's on an island that's fortified by both text and logic. Perhaps not an impregnable island, but an island that one could certainly hold out on, both in terms of the text of the Gemara and Kuftei Zayin, without feeling any sense of insecurity, and logic. It's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? This is not a theology course. Or is it? Okay, we'll hold it up there.